Well, first of all, the Iranians can't get all their centrifuges to work properly because they have a problem with ball bearings and magnets that are used in the rotors. They imported some so they could do a couple of these centrifuges in research and development, but when they want to expand the program, not to 3,000, to 164, they can't get 164 to work because they don't have enough ball bearings and magnets. But even when they get them to work, the uranium hexafluoride that is produced in Iran is derived from uranium in Iran that is contaminated with a substance called molybdenum. It's an element. You can go look, we're in a library. And the molybdenum is used in steel alloys and things like that. But it's in the uranium and you don't extract it. When you create uranium hexafluoride gas and you put that gas into the centrifuge, that molybdenum has a mass. And when you start spinning the centrifuge up to 70,000 RPM, that mass is exaggerated. And what happens is that mass grabs onto the side of the centrifuge and blows the centrifuge apart. When the Iranians operate their cascades for any duration in time, every single time the cascade self-destructs. Now this president's trying to tell us that we are at imminent risk from the Iranians, that this nuclear program represents a real and imminent threat to the security of the United States of America. The vice president is creating a sense of urgency. The media is hyping up that we're 1 year away from a nuclear-armed Iran. I'm telling you right now, A, even if they had a covert nuclear weapons program, which no one has demonstrated they have, they couldn't build a nuclear weapon if they wanted to. They just don't have the technological capacity. Now, how do we know all this? From the inspectors. Contrary to popular belief, Iran has not kicked out the inspectors. Iran is operating 100% in compliance with its legal obligations under the Non-Proliferation Treaty. Iran is permitted under Article 4 of the Non-Proliferation Treaty to enrich uranium. We are demanding that Iran be denied that which it's legally allowed to do when we say they must suspend their enrichment programs. Iran agreed to the safeguards inspections. They have inspectors in place. We have demanded that Iran allow additional protocols and inspections, increased inspection activity, which the Iranians have said they're willing to do so long as, at the end of the day, the United States respects Iran's legal right to enrich uranium as part of a nuclear energy program, which we refuse to do. But even more than this, you know, we're told the Iranians are picking a fight with us. We'll get into that in a second. They're searching for a conflict with us. They're trying to be expansionists. Ladies and gentlemen, study your history. Iran fought an eight-year war with Iraq. Hundreds of thousands of Iranians were killed. Their economy was devastated. They are just beginning to recover from that, and they are going through a serious economic period of difficulty as we speak, with high unemployment. This nation awash in a sea of oil spends $30 billion a year to import gasoline because they don't have a refining capacity to produce indigenous gasoline. They're not looking for a fight. The last thing they want is a fight with the world's sole remaining superpower. Fact is, in 2003, they went so far as to send a two-page message to the United States government saying, we don't want to fight. We will do whatever necessary to normalize relations. We are willing to put our nuclear program on the table. Give it up. We are willing to rein in Hamas and Hezbollah, to deny them funding, to put pressure on them to stop their activities against Israel. All we ask from you, the United States, is that you lift the embargo and you recognize our right to exist. You give us security guarantees that you will no longer pursue a policy of regime change when it comes to the Islamic Republic of Iran. The Bush administration rejected this, and they've gone so far as to have Condoleezza Rice just recently lie to the American people, saying she doesn't remember. Everybody else in the White House remembers this document, but Condi Rice has a convenient lapse of memory. The most important diplomatic initiative to come this way in modern times, and she forgot about it. Ladies and gentlemen, the Iranians are not pushing for a conflict. They don't want to fight. This is a war that does not need to be fought. But if you read the policies of this administration, a lot of people say, well, Ritter, you're just being pretty presumptive here, saying that the Bush administration wants a war. I'm not being presumptive. Read the March 2006 version of the National Security Strategy of the United States of America. Again, we're in the library. Joe, I'm sure you guys have got internet terminals. It's not hard. This is not classified CIA information here. Go log in, type in National Security Strategy, March 2006. You'll get the document. Read for yourself what it says. It lists Iran no fewer than 16 times as representing the number one threat in the world to the security of the United States of America. It says this threat comes in the form of two ways. One, a nuclear weapons program. I just told you there isn't one. The international community concurs that there is no evidence whatsoever to sustain the allegations that Iran is pursuing nuclear weapons. All they say is that because the United States has floated the possibility of it, the current inspection regime is incapable of giving 100% assurance that somewhere, somehow in Iran, there might be a nuclear weapons program. Well, that's not what the inspections are about. The inspections are not about going everywhere on a wild goose chase to try and prove the negative. The inspections are about chasing down fact and coming up with a conclusion that is derived from fact, not speculation. And the conclusion is there is no nuclear weapons program in Iran today. The CIA actually concurs with that. They indirectly state it when they note that Iran is 10 years away from developing nuclear weapons. 10 years, ladies and gentlemen, in this modern day and age, means Iran's not doing anything. Any nation in the world today is 10 years away from developing But the document also says, and this is where it gets scary, ladies and gentlemen, that even if Iran is not pursuing nuclear weapons, Iran represents a threat because it is the largest state sponsor of terror in the world today. Now that term, terror, is very important. A lot of people say, hey, the Democrats came in and got the Congress, whether that's good or bad in your opinion, so be it. You know, we all voted, and that's the will of the people. Democrats now have the Congress of the United States, and that people are saying it was an anti-war vote to put them in, and that these newly empowered Democrats are going to do the right thing and not only get us out of Iraq, but prevent a war in Iran. Wrong answer. First of all, there's only one way to prevent a war in Iran. That's to pass a new Boland Amendment today that denies funding for any military activity, covert or overt. This president has to go back to Congress. No. Read very carefully the War Powers Authorization Resolution of September 2001 and the War Powers Authorization of October 2002. Read the fine print when it talks about terrorism, when it talks about nations, organizations, individuals who are giving harbor or support or otherwise condoning terrorism. They are now a free target. The president in the national security strategy of the United States has defined Iran as not just a state sponsor of terror, but the state sponsor of terror. Did you listen to his State of the Union address?
Yeah.
His State of the Union address, using the same sleight of hand where he took Saddam Hussein, a secular dictator, and made him allied with Osama bin Laden, an Islamic fundamentalist Wahhabist who had been involved, engaged in active conflict with Saddam Hussein, and now that they're allies. He did the same thing. He took Al-Qaeda, a Wahhabist Sunni-based terrorist organization, and made it one and the same with the Shia in Iran, rejecting centuries of history that say that the Sunni view the Shia as apostates, especially Wahhabist Sunnis who will never have anything to do with the Shia. But Bush made them one and the same, so that the global war on terror has now, with one magic wave of the wand, been expanded to include Iran, and Iran has been now defined as part of what they call the Shia Crescent, which extends from Lebanon through Iraq into Iran, threatening the security of the entire world. We have the Saudis buying into this. We have the Egyptians buying into this. We have the Jordanians buying into this. And believe it or not, we have our own Congress buying into this. Well, when I say buying into it, you know, I'd like to believe that when you buy into something, it means you have an informed opinion. But Nancy Pelosi has just selected a representative from Texas, Congressman Reyes, to be the head of the Intelligence Committee. He was given a pop quiz recently. What's the difference between a Sunni and a Shia? He had no clue. Now, this is the man who's heading the Intelligence Committee. They said, well, Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda, are they Sunni or Shia? He said, oh, they're mainly Shia. No, they're exclusively Sunni. This is a problem, ladies and gentlemen, because we can laugh at Reyes, but the bottom line is if we each look in the mirror and reflect on our own personal level of comprehension, we all fail the pop quiz. There might be a handful of us that can pass it. But again, I'm a big believer in blaming the president when blame is due. I believe in holding Congress accountable for their abrogation of constitutional responsibility. I condemn the media for their irresponsible coverage. The blame rests solely with we, the people of the United States of America.